Okay, picture this. Rural Bedfordshire. It's March 1963. And it's quiet. You know that deep countryside quiet.
The kind where you mostly just hear wind, maybe some farm animals way off.
Exactly. But in this little village, Clophill, there's this place, St. Mary's Church, or what's left of it.
Right. Just ruins, really. Stone skeleton against the sky, ivy everywhere next to this old, kind of overgrown cemetery. Definitely sets a mood.
It does. And in that quiet, people started whispering. Said they were seeing things near the church after dark.
Figures, wasn't it? Like shapes moving around.
Yeah, cloaked shapes carrying candles sometimes, and then they just vanish into the ruins or the shadows. Spooky stuff.
Just whisper until, well, until the discovery.
Right. That's what we're digging into today. This really strange, unsettling event. We're going purely off the source material you've got, looking at what happened and maybe more interestingly, how differently people saw it.
And still see it, perhaps, because
Yeah.
that discovery, it wasn't subtle. It hit hard.
So what exactly did they find? The sources laid out pretty clearly.
Well, first off, a grave had been disturbed violently, a coffin literally dragged out of the ground.
Not just any grave, though.
No, that's the weird thing. It was old. Jenny Humberstone. Buried, what, over 170 years earlier?
Wow. Okay, so inside the church ruin itself,
Yeah.
what was the scene like there?
Grim. Meticulously grim, as you said earlier. Her bones were scattered around.
Scattered.
Did you?
But the skull, that was different, right?
Yeah, the skull wasn't just tossed aside. The sources say it was placed deliberately on some kind of crude stone altar they found inside the ruins.
An altar. Okay. And there was more.
Oh, yeah. Around the skull, black candles, symbols that had been sort of daubed in red paint or something similar.
Daft. Okay. Not precisely drawn.
The description implies maybe haste or perhaps crudeness, yeah. And animal remains, too, arranged in these frankly eerie
So
patterns.
you have this crumbling, decaying church, right? Total neglect. And then bang, right in the middle, this arrangement. Super deliberate. Maybe lit by those black candles people had seen figures carrying.
It creates a powerful image, doesn't it? The decay versus the deliberate placement.
It absolutely does. And it just screams the question. Looking at those source details, what was this? What were they trying to do or say here?
And right there, that's where the story splits, according to the sources, anyway.
How so?
Well, the authorities, the police who investigated, they looked at the disturbed grave, the mess, and basically called it vandalism.
Vandalism.
Yeah, I mean, obviously horrific desecration, malicious damage, but vandalism was the official category.
See, that's where I start to diverge, just based on the details in the sources. Vandalism, okay, digging up a grave, smashing things, fine. But a skull on altar, specific symbols, even if crudely done, black candles, animal remains arranged in patterns, that feels planned, ritualistic
Well,
almost.
the press certainly thought so. The sources are clear. They jump straight to black magic ritual.
And honestly, can you blame them? That combination of elements, it doesn't scream random destruction to me. It feels organized, like someone was trying to perform something specific, something dark.
But let's push on that a bit. The same evidence, right? Skull on an altar, symbols, candles. Yes, it's theatrical. It's meant to shock. But does it prove a genuine, sophisticated ritual by actual
What
practitioners?
else could it be?
Well, think about it. The sources say the symbols were daubed. Maybe crude, maybe not complex occult sigils. Could it have been thrill seekers? Maybe teenagers, yeah.
Teenagers doing that.
Maybe reading some stuff, hearing local legends, wanting to push boundaries, create the most shocking scene they could imagine, mimicking what they think occult stuff looks like. It's a deliberate act, absolutely horrifying. But is it genuine belief or is it like dark theater, a performance of desecration?
But what about those earlier sightings? The sources mentioned cloaked figures, candles, vanishing acts. That sounds like more than just a couple of kids trying to be edgy. That hints at a group operating in secret.
It does hint, yes, but hints is the operative word.
And the scene itself, the skull, the altar, it just feels too specific, too potent to be just kids messing around crudely. It reads like intent. The ritual interpretation feels stronger based on what they arrange. You don't accidentally make an altar scene with a skull.
And yet the sources leave that door open, don't they? The visual is strong enough for the ritual headline, sure, but concrete proof of deep knowledge or actual organized cult activity. It's not explicitly spelled out in the description of the scene itself.
So it's basically official explanation versus, well, the much darker possibility.
Exactly, and how those limited, disturbing details fuel such different stories. That's key here.
Okay, so let's move past that initial shock in 63. Because the sources say this wasn't just a one-off horror show.
No, definitely not. It happened again. Between 1969 and 1975, the disturbances continued.
Continued how?
More graves disturbed. More signs found around the ruins that suggested, well, cult-like gatherings were still happening there.
See, for me, that consistency over years, that points away from just random vandalism or a single edgy stunt. It suggests an ongoing group. Maybe the first event emboldened them, or it's the same people all along. It feels like confirmation of something persistent.
Or consider the timing. Late 60s, early 70s. Big surge in popular interest in the occult, counterculture, that kind of thing. Often pretty superficial, but it was in the air.
Okay.
So the 1963 event gets huge press, right? Labeled Black Magic. Creates this local legend instantly. Could the later stuff have been copycats? Different people? Maybe even kids again, drawn to the notoriety, revisiting the spooky church ruin, trying to recapture that shock value, adding to the legend?
Copycats digging up multiple graves over several years. That seems dedicated for just copycat.
Perhaps. Or perhaps the legend itself became the draw. The later events definitely add layers, but do they confirm a single continuous cult? The sources present the events, but the interpretation, it's still debated, isn't it?
Maybe. But then you have the local stories that cropped up. The sources mention these too. Tales of people, thrill seekers who actually went there at night.
Right. And they didn't just come back saying, ooh, spooky church.
No. They came back pale. Shaken. Some apparently refused to talk about what they saw or heard. That feels different.
It does suggest genuinely unsettling experiences, yeah.
And that one detail from the local lore, the really chilling one, people claiming they heard chanting. Not just in the church, but from underneath the floor.
That definitely adds a layer of hidden activity.
Exactly. Less like kids playing ghosts, more like something else was genuinely going on there, maybe secretly, over time.
It shows how potent the legend became. The initial mystery of 63 created this vacuum, right? And the community, the local imagination, filled it with fear, with rumor, maybe amplifying genuinely unsettling feelings people had there because they expected something bad.
So you think the stories might just be stories, amplified fear.
It's possible. Do the stories prove hidden rituals? Or do they show how the ambiguity, the later disturbances, just cemented this place in the local mind as truly haunted or occupied? The sources give us both the reported events and the folklore that grew around them. Both seem important.
So fast forward to today, what's the situation with St. Mary's now, according to the sources?
Still abandoned, still in ruins. But now it's fenced off. You can't just wander in.
Fenced off. And the local feeling. Has that faded after all these decades?
Apparently not. The sources say people in Clophill still warn you, still say, don't go near it after dark. Why? Because the church isn't empty.
Wow. That's persistent. That straight line from 1963 through the 70s disturbances right down to today's warnings. Mm-hmm. It really shows the power of an unsolved case, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Why does this story stick? Maybe it taps into something basic about how we react to the unexplained, how fear and rumor can fill the gaps when facts are scarce.
So we circle back, really. Yeah. What did happen in that church? Genuine black magic. A truly shocking act of vandalism that spiraled into legend. Something else, entirely tied to the place itself.
The sources lay out the evidence, the competing theories, the enduring lore, but they don't give us a final answer. They can't, really.
The ambiguity is the point, maybe.
It's certainly what keeps the story alive, and so chilling.
So, here's something to leave you with, thinking about all this. What if 1963, that horrifying discovery, what if that wasn't the main event? What if it was just the opening act? The grim curtain raiser for whatever really resides or gathers or happens in the shadows of St. Mary's. Maybe the mystery didn't get solved back then. Maybe it just got deeper.